they'll have that chance as well. So with that said, we want to get right to it, and we're going to have the opening statements.
Sorry.
And again, randomly picked out of the hat, we're going to have Pete Frangie go first with his opening statement.
Great, thanks.
Thanks, John. All right, thank you everyone for being here tonight.
Stand up.
Is that better?
Can everybody hear me?
Okay, there. All right. So, Frangie for Mayor began their campaign. We began our campaign with one goal, the people of the city of Cohoes. Our campaign has been positive and fruitful. We set out to show people that we have always been active members of our community and will always remain to be active members of this community. We've highlighted our experiences. Former treasurer, department head, member of the Board of Managers for the City of Cohoes. We've highlighted our current and most exciting path, a private sector role that partners with municipalities and government agencies across New York State, helping upgrade and update their infrastructure. That's an exciting role, and that certainly builds on where we should go here in Cohoes. What we didn't do is make this campaign about anything else other than what voters require to make a responsible choice of leadership. And that's important. There have been multiple attempts to urge candidates to attack Mayor Morse and make this campaign about him and allegations against him. Unfortunately, I think that's caused voters to bring emotion to their choice. Emotion that's causing voters to vote someone out of office and not vote someone into office.
And I think they might have taken, they might have removed
that. There's a distinct difference. To vote someone out is fueled by emotion.
That's what it is.
We dislike the character of one individual so much we gravitate to the individual that we feel most comfortable about. Voting a candidate into office shifts our focus to experience, a proven track record, and best of all, conversation. Instead of focusing on the past, let's look to the future. We ask you to choose to vote someone into office. Understand experiences, have conversation, ask the difficult questions. Thank you.
Second opening statement, again from a random drawing from the hat, is Steve Napier.
Good evening. And I want to thank John Brayman for the moderating for us. I want to thank the Senior Center for hosting us tonight. Everyone still here?
No.
Okay. And I want to thank my fellow candidates for participating. And most importantly, I want to thank everyone in the audience for being here to participate in the democratic process. My name is Steve Napier. I'm a sixth-generation Cohoesian, first-generation college graduate, and a city councilman representing the 5th Ward. In my capacity as a councilman, I have interacted extensively with every department in the city. That has truly prepared me to step into the role of mayor with the experience to lead on day one. And on day one, I will pass sweeping ethics reform, improving our checks and balances, curbing my own power as mayor, banning elected officials from double dipping with two city-funded paychecks, tightening anti-nepotism laws. Because government is not a family business, you will never see a member of my family on city payroll. And passing term limits, because I believe that fresh blood encourages new ideas. I'll invest in our youth, for the youth services librarian, extended after school and weekend hours in our library so residents can, without access to the tools they need to do their homework or apply for a job, will have access to those. And I'll partner with the school district to bring city-sponsored college prep or trade transition programs to our high school students. I'll implement a self-sustaining program to repair our sidewalks, see page 7 of the Napier Plan. I'll address the underlying issues behind staffing shortages in our firehouses, and I'll correct the out-of-whack pickup schedules that often lead to lawn bags riding on the curb. And I'll implement a block-by-block program. I'll tell you about that later on. Thank you again, and I look forward to the conversation. Thank you.
Our third opening remark will come from Sean Morse.
We don't have mics over on this side. I think we were set up on Hill. Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay? My name is Sean Morris, and I am honored and I am privileged to be the mayor of this city. And this is not a campaign about me or the three candidates up here in the front of the room. This is a campaign about you and who can best fix your city and help you live a life in a community that you can be proud of, a place that people look at and say, I wish our city was just like Cohoes. 3 years ago, I knocked on every door in this city. I got to talk to a lot of people. I heard their excitement about what was going on. I heard their grievances about what was going on and the things they wanted to hear and see about Sean Morris. What can you do for our city? So quite simply, I said, this is what I'll do. I'll fix the problems that you brought to my attention, like building a downtown. In building a downtown, we have done $75 million investment in our downtown. This money translated into something that has never happened in our city. 3 straight years of zero taxes to the residents of Cohoes. 3 straight years of no water or sewer fees in the city of Cohoes. 3 straight years of budgets that came under budget to the tune of $1.6 million. Never happened in the city of Cohoes. So when I said I would work tirelessly, that I would get results for each and every one of you, because you are the ones that mattered, I think that is results. I think if you take a ride down Ransom Street, you'll just shake your head and say, how did 18 businesses open up? How did $75 million of investment take place? How did he convince people to spend $3, $4, $5, $20 million on a street called Ransom? And we did it because we had a vision, we were enthusiastic, we talked about our ideas and what the Cohoes could be. We talked about something really important, becoming an all-America city once again. And I will tell you that right now, that goal is within our reach. We have seen a music hall that was closed, now opened up, number one in the capital region. Boy, it beeps awful fast when you're trying to get your point across. But the reality is, I will work tirelessly for you. I know there's been a lot of things said about Sean Morris. I would ask you to do this. Believe what you believe, see what you see, see the money that's in your pocket and your paychecks that I'm not taking to do things to fix this city. Know that I will work tirelessly harder than anybody else. I will make you Cohoes proud. We will continue to be Cohoes proud as a community.
His opening remarks is Bill Keeler.
Everybody, thanks for coming out tonight. Appreciate it. Just want to thank John Gray for moderating. Thank the folks from the Senior Center for hosting us tonight. My name is Bill Keeler, and like many of you, I'm a lifetime Cohoesian. My ancestors settled here in the 1700s. My children and grandchildren are 9th and 10th generation Cohoesians. I've been in public service since I was 21 years old. I enjoyed a 32-year career in law enforcement, starting right here as a patrolman on the Cohoes Police Department before later joining the New York State Police. Advancing through the ranks, I retired in 2017 as the commander of Troop G, a 10-county area that includes the Capital District. I oversaw a workforce of 700 men and women of various ranks and assignments. I managed a $100 million budget, and I interacted with mayors, town supervisors, county legislators, New York State Assembly people, and senators, right on up through and including the Lieutenant Governor and the Governor. But folks, I never imagined that I would be running for mayor. But Cohoes has been in the news for all the wrong reasons for the last 2 years, and I could no longer sit on the sideline. I love Cohoes too much. I'm running to restore honor and integrity to City Hall. I'm running to take politics out of the police department. And I'm running to leave Cohoes a better place for my children and grandchildren. But there's a lot to do to get Cohoes back on track. I will focus on neglected infrastructure. I will invest in our historic anchor buildings, City Hall and the library. I will engage the community by creating a liaison to all of our nonprofits, to our schools, and to our business community. Together we can do these things, but we can't do them alone. That's why I work to rebuild strained relationships with county, state, and federal officials.
Five questions, and I'm going to get to all of yours. Well, hopefully all of yours, as many as I can. The elephant in the room, which has really not been scratched yet, is what's been happening with the mayor here. He's been under a cloud for more than a year now with allegations of abuse. If you read the Times Union, you've seen it far too often, probably, in the paper. No charges came from those allegations, as you know. However, the mayor is currently under federal charges related to the alleged misappropriation of campaign funds. Now, the outcome of that's not known. He has not had his day in court. He has not had a chance to defend himself. And, of course, we are all innocent until proven guilty. But the question I'm asking of all the candidates, including the mayor, is why, with all of this dark cloud and now this federal trial coming up, why wouldn't voters just look at this as maybe a time for change, anyone but the mayor who's currently in the seat, to remove that cloud over the city and move on? But on the flip side of that coin, if he's found not guilty, why is he not entitled to run and win and continue running the city? And we'll start on the end, and then the next question will move down as we go. But I'll start with Steve right now, off the top, if you want to handle that question. He needs a mic. We'll get this mic thing sorted out, I promise.
So, to answer the elephant in the room question, I think that given
stand
that
up. Stand up.
Sorry. I think that if I were the mayor today and I were under indictment for seven federal charges, given the negative attention that it brings to the city and the way that it would negatively impact people who might look to Cohoes to bring investment dollars, whether that be development dollars or grant dollars, I would step aside for the good of the city. I think that the city of Cohoes would be better served for that to happen.
Was there a second part to your question?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
To reiterate, essentially putting ourselves in his shoes.
In his shoes, yes.
Yeah, okay, so. Is this working? Okay.
Yeah,
you know, I'd have to echo Mr. Napier. Look, the reality is, as mayor, your role is to lead the community, lead the city, where you're fiscally responsible to look towards the future, to make people understand, believe, and want to be a part of this community. Currently, it does feel like there's a divide in the community, and who knows what that's about. But I think yes, if I'm in those shoes, I have to objectively think what's best for the community, not best for Peter Frangie. That's what I'm here. I'm representing you. You're paying me with your tax dollars, and that's truly how we have to treat that. Whether or not I believe I'm innocent, if I really truly feel that the city is being hurt by this, then yes, we should. We should step aside.
Next is Bill Keeler.
Bill Keeler next.
Ladies and gentlemen, I respectfully disagree with the mayor's economic policies. We've had conversations months ago, and he knows how I stand on an economic policy. And I know where he stands on economic policy. Well, folks, I didn't get into this race because of economic policy. I got into it because, as a Cohosier, I'm embarrassed by all of these allegations. And the mayor, I think, should step aside, but he hasn't stepped aside. He does have to go, but it's up to you folks to decide that. The Capital District is looking. Our children are looking. Is this mayor the role model for our children? Do we want him at the commencement?
Yeah.
That's up to you folks. But I don't think he should be the face of the Democratic Party. I don't think he should be the face of the city of Cohoes. We're setting the bar too low when we're saying that just because our mayor hasn't been convicted, he should hang in there. I respectfully disagree with that. I think he's got to go, and that's why I'm here. Thank you.
I am shocked that the three of them think that. I assume you're shocked as well. Let me first say this. None of these men have stood in my shoes. None of these men had to deal with things that I've dealt with that certainly weren't something I woke up one morning and said, I think I'll ruin my life. For 50 years of my life, I've lived in this community. I served as a firefighter in this community. I have awards on my wall for saving people's lives in this community, delivering their babies in this community. I donated all my life to the community center, working bingo, being a mentor, and doing a host of things for this community. Anybody who thinks that you should step down from something that you worked your whole life for to get to because somebody says you have to are the ones that I would not want at the commencement ceremony at the high school teaching our kids about their future. Because through your life, there will be people who want to drag you down, kick you down, and make you be somebody that you're not. Politics is the worst. It's right here, right in front of you. People who don't know me. People who have had to make allegations out of a newspaper. If they stood in my life and they seen the struggles that I went through to save my family, and at the same time, never quit on any one of you, work tirelessly every day under the scrutiny that nobody will ever understand unless they had to live it. I am the guy who should be the face of your city. I am the guy that is bringing it back to life. I am the guy who's making it Cohoes proud. We have investors call me every single day. The Capital Region, not Cohoes, but the Capital Region voted us for the first time ever. A number 1-5 city in the Capital Region.
Sure.
So there can't be a black cloud. There's excitement about our city.
Bill Keeler getting booed by the whole crowd.
That's dirty.
How many female police officers did you push through the window at City Hall?
One!
It was just one. And
I like the response.
But it just didn't make up for me.
Given the fact that the two gentlemen on my right did not want to respond, I will give you that. 30 seconds.
I've been elected for 16 years. I didn't wake up one day and say that the world wouldn't know my life. I'm the guy who overcame the mistakes that I made in life and proudly stand here in this room. Mr. Keeler may never got caught, okay? But we all make mistakes. This is the kind of campaign that they want to run.
Yeah,
this is the kind of people that want to stand in front of your son and say, I should be mayor because Mr. Morris made a mistake or two in his life. I made a lot of mistakes in my life. So did everybody in this room. Don't be afraid to admit them. Don't be afraid to overcome them. And don't be afraid to shine.
That's not a debate question. It's your personal life.
I never been here.
I'm going to read your minds and say, why are they sitting next to each other? All the gentlemen were here when I picked the names out of the hat of where they would sit, so God clearly has a sense of humor. I'm going to give the mic down. Yeah. Second question is almost more directed at the other three than Sean.
Woo!
Sean certainly can respond as well. When they asked me to do this debate, I started reading everything I could about this race and all the candidates. All very interesting candidates, great candidates. But I started to see a theme of almost like there was a dividing line in the hose of the Sean camp and the anybody but Sean camp. And I guess my question to the three of you, and Sean can respond as well, if you wanted this man out of office, it seems to me you're running the risk of splitting up the anti-war vote and handing this to him. Was any thought given to that with all of you jumping in the race? Was there ever thought, I mean, rock, paper, scissors, or you just get together and say, who's the strongest candidate? Or, in fairness to each of you, do you feel, forget that, I'm the guy, and I can get enough votes to beat him. But are you concerned about Sean getting 37% of the vote, but winning because you guys divvy up the rest of the pie?
Yeah, actually, you know, sure, there were conversations had. And did we do rock, paper, scissors? No. Well, yeah, there were six of us at first. We did that. We've been those at least. I think, well, I won't speak for the other candidates, but I'm running for Cohoes. I'm running because of the experience. I'm running for the obvious reasons that you talk about, and I'm not stepping aside to not divvy up that vote because I truly believe I'm the most experienced. I truly believe I have the most to offer. I truly believe that I can continue to bring Cohoes where it needs to go. You know, you don't get, when you're elected mayor, you don't get sent to mayor school, as Mr. Morse will tell you. You have to sit in that seat and begin rolling the dice and understanding what happens day after day. And admittedly, I do believe I'm the one that's most qualified to be put into that seat. So with those thoughts, I can't step aside from that. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Go this way. Yeah.
That was Frangie. Here's Keeler.
Folks, again, with all due respect to the other candidates, this is not anything I ever aspire to. If a candidate had come forward that I thought could beat Sean Morris, I would have gladly stepped aside. I think Steve's a fine guy. And he's an up-and-coming guy. I don't think he's got the resume right now. That's just my opinion. Peter, I don't know anything about. Somebody has got to, got to take this mayor out. And I believe that I have the resume to, and I get the support at the doors. I have the resume to effectively run the office on day one, and I think that's critical. I think experience is going to count more than ever. Leadership and experience. I don't know what leadership the other gentlemen have. I haven't heard anything. I'll leave that up to them to articulate. But that's why I'm in it.
So unlike the other three, I did want to be the mayor, and I told that to my ninth grade teacher. So the fact that I've worked myself to this position and demonstrated that I certainly can bring this city back to the days of glory, I don't know why the other three are running except for what you've heard tonight. Mr. Keeler hasn't told you about what he can do because he has no experience. I was a firefighter. That didn't give me experience to be the mayor. He was a police officer and a trooper. That doesn't give you experience to be the mayor. And I don't know, a resume tells you that the first thing you should do is get up and criticize a man that you don't know nothing about and never walked in his shoes. That certainly shouldn't be on a resume of why I should be the mayor. Here's what I'll tell you. I love this city as much as a man can love this city. I love the people in this city as much as a man can love the people in this city. Nobody will work harder. Nobody will give more of their lives to make this city the city we can all be proud of. And when the day comes when we're all America's city once again, that will be the day that I say thank you and I move on, leaving behind a city that most people will only have to be the caretaker because we've already built it together over the last X amount of years. Thank you.
Here's Napier.
So I think the question was about whether we should play rock, paper, scissors to be the candidate here.
Well, are you worried about dividing the vote and therefore not moving Sean Morris out of that seat?
So no, I'm not. When 4 years ago I ran for common council in a three-way race, and supporters of the other candidates on both sides of me told me that I was going to be the spoiler in that race. And I won that race with 51% of the vote. I believe that you bring a message, a hopeful message of what you want to accomplish to the people, and let them decide. And that's exactly what I'm doing.
Okay. Would anyone like to have 30 seconds to move? No? Would anyone like to have 30 seconds?
You're good.
All right, I'll move on to the third question, which is going to start over here with Bill. This one's more about the economy. The mayor mentioned in his opening statement no tax increases in 3 years, reinvestment in the city as well. Is that an indication that things are going on the right track? Or is there a reality here that maybe some outside money is not coming into the city right now because of the dark cloud that seems to be cast over Cohoes the last year or so? Even have the governor asking Sean to step down at one point. What are each of you planning to do to really jumpstart the economy, help downtown, bring business, bring growth, and get the city really on strong, strong financial footing?
That's the narrative that Mayor Morris wants us to believe, but he's got us on a non-sustainable path. When he came into office, he inherited a $400,000 surplus in a retirement fund. He immediately spent that down to zero, giving it away, $50,000 to this business, $75,000 to this investor. It's gone now. That was money that was supposed to be set aside for a retirement system. On the flip side of that, he bonded $1.9 million for his downtown project, Canal Square, a sign in front of the music hall, some sidewalks on Remsen Street. Folks, that's effectively putting that on a credit card for the next administration and the following administrations to pay for it. And the third leg that he had to stand on at the time was grant money that was coming in. Folks, that's dried up. It's at a trickle down. It won't flow again until this mayor's out of office, I'm sorry to say. My plan, along the economic lines, I'm going to hire a full-time professional grant writer because they will earn their salary tenfold. And then with that, we'll look to get that $10 million economic development money that won't come under this administration, sadly. And that will go a long way to fixing some of the problems we have. So, thank you.
So first of all, I've always learned that when you don't understand something, you criticize it. Nobody walks into office and somebody hands somebody $400,000 in grant. That's ridiculous. That's lack of experience. That's not understanding anything to do with municipal budgets. It is impossible to listen to Billy and have happen what has happened. Our taxes have stayed at zero. Our savings account has increased by $1.6 million. You can't have one going up and one staying flat if you're taking money from a line item and spending it. It doesn't work that way. The reality is there was $400,000. We took that money that was sitting in an account, not working for the city, doing absolutely nothing. We reinvested it and turned it into over $5 million worth of projects on Remsen Street. It's not like we took money and squandered it. We took money that was doing nothing, not helping you. Having 3 years of zeros doesn't happen because you squander money. It happens when you put policies in place that save you money, economic development that earns you money, and let me just help you understand about the no grant money coming in. We just got almost $1.1 million in grant money well after all of these things happened and the conversations that I had. Nobody will ever be able to rebuild a city with grant money. It is small. It is very small. What has helped us build our city is millions of dollars of private investment coming into our city. That's right, so how you build a city.
You gotta wrap it up. Okay, I want to start answering this question by rejecting the premise of it.
Steve Napier.
The idea that Cohoes is getting record amounts of investment is not correct. I'm proud of the things that have happened in the city since I've been on the Common Council. But I just want to give you some numbers. Whenever anyone builds or makes an improvement in the city of Cohoes, they have to pay about 1% of that cost as a building permit. So you can pretty easily track what the number of dollars is. For $75 million in investment, we should see $750,000 in building permits from the time we took office until today. That number is actually, for the first 3 years, $487,976.36. So it's quite a ways off of that number. In addition to that, in the previous 3 years, it was $621,824.67. So it's actually a 22% drop off since the mayor has taken office. As far as the grant money goes, regional economic development grant dollars coming from the Regional Economic Development Grant Council. They 2017, those dollars totaled $1.7 million. In 2018, they dropped to $79,000. It's by far the lowest the COHOS has ever received. So the idea that we have unprecedented growth and you know, continuing to get the kind of grant money that we were is just not correct.
Frangie.
One of the benefits that Mr. Morris's administration has gained from is sales tax. We have a great deal of revenue, and I don't have time to get into how we receive our revenue, but three main revenue lines are taxes, sales tax, and state aid. State aid's been $2.74 million for the last 12 million. We're not getting any more. Last 12 years, we're not getting any more out of the governor. Since Mayor Morris has taken office, he's seen probably about $600,000 increase in sales tax. So that has certainly helped him keep his 0% increase over the years. And that's great, right? That's the buy local, keep it local. And that's not just the city of Cohoes, that's Albany County. So for every taxable dollar you spend in Albany County, 4 cents goes to New York State. 4 cents comes to Albany County and it's shared. And that's where we get that 5.8, almost 5.9 million we received last year. That's important. Those are important monies to us. That's what helps keep the tax dollars down. As far as grants are concerned, we do have grant writers. I don't firmly believe that a full-time grant writer is going to solve anything, because grants are so specialized that you typically do need to reach out and get some support in grant writing. And grants are not always 100%. They're not the answer to everything. Rarely do you receive grants that are 100% offerings. There's typically matches with those grants. Yes, we do need grants, but we cannot rely solely on grants. That's not where all the money is. That's not the answer to everything.
Okay.
Here's Keeler.
We are in line. We're in the queue to receive $10 million in regional economic development money. Glens Falls got it. Amsterdam just got it. Hudson got it. Cohoes is in that line, but we won't get it while Sean Morris is our mayor. It gives me no pleasure to say that, but it's a fact. And also, we're at the top of the economic cycle right now. When we get to the bottom, when a recession comes and that $400,000 isn't in there, taxpayers are going to have to replenish it. And that's a fact. Thank you.
One of the issues about not having any understanding of the day-to-day operations of government is you just seek out numbers, you seek out things, and you just throw them out there and hope that people go, oh my God, is that really what's happening? Look, the reality is this. Steve is right. So far, we bring in almost $500,000 of fees from my economic development plan. The rest of the money is a $30 million plan that hasn't kicked off yet that will give us another $300,000 that will put us at the almost $800,000 that Mr. Napier is talking about. But because he doesn't know the other plan hasn't started yet, he doesn't know that we haven't received that money. But that money's coming, and the plan is almost done, and they're through planning and zoning and all of the other hurdles that you go through before you draw your permits and build your building. So that money is there. That money will be coming. The money that we brought into this city is through grants, some of it. The $10 million, I guess everybody who didn't get it, the hundreds of other cities must have pissed off the governor too, because we're not the only ones that didn't get it. We actually came in number two 3 years in a row. It's $30,000 it cost us to get into the game. So I'm proud that we were number two, because before we wouldn't have been talked about. Nobody would have even considered us. Steve Napier is wrong. We got $900,000 for a culvert grant in 2018, well after the incident occurred. And we got $79,000 on top of that for a public waterfront design going on a private piece of property that, because of our economic development, the gentleman has given us free access to the river through his property. So we continue to get grants, we continue to apply for grants, and we continue to get the grants.
So I just want to clarify that I am not wrong. We're talking about regional economic development grant money. Those reports are easily available online. You can see exactly what the drop-off has been. And when it comes to the additional $300,000, I just want to clarify that what Mayor Morris is saying is that he has a plan to bring them in, not that those dollars exist today. Well, you already went over your time a little bit.
Can I take Kaler's time?
You want to respond again? Are you good? All right, let's move on, Chuck. You're going to go first with the next question, so you can jump in with that if you want to. This one is on education. Every poll of parents will tell you that the education of their kids is of paramount importance. Here in Cohoes, you certainly have good schools, but I'm sure you'd like to see more reinvestment there. You've also had that community center close, which was a real shock to the area. And I've seen some of your questions you handed in. Many of you are asking about that as well. To the four of you, what's your plans regarding the betterment of the education system here in the city? And specifically, what are you going to do about replacing that community center that was lost and leaving a lot of people without a place right now? It's worth to start with Sean with this one.
Thank you. I just want to underscore that Norlite is spending an enormous amount of money to replace all of its antiquated systems. That is already in the process, and they will pay their 1% fee, and that will put us up to where I said we would be once the project is off the ground, and it is almost off the ground. As far as the community center, as I said before, nobody loves it more than I. I've been going there my whole life. I worked really hard. I got my first job there. Mr. Gulley used to say, "You're really seven," because I had to stand up and pull myself up. Mr. Lutz is here, who will tell you that I've been going there my whole life. Unfortunately, the city does not own the community center. And unfortunately, when you're in the position of the mayor, you have to do what is right fiscally, not what your emotions tell you. My emotions say, go buy this building. Fiscally, it's about $2.5 million worth of repair just to get it open. I have worked with and continue to work with a developer who put a bid in on the community center. Hopefully, when he goes through with his engineers and he finds out the true cost of what he can do to fix it, hopefully we'll have an announcement that somebody's going to buy the community center and bring it back to life. But as it stands right now, it is not a city property, and it makes it a lot more difficult to try to manage something that we have no control over.
I don't think so.
Here's Napier.
Okay, that's a bear of a question to answer in 1 minute, but I'll give it my best shot. I want everyone to know that, from my perspective, helping the next generation from the educational standpoint is one of my top priorities. It's probably my top priority. I said in my opening that I'm a first-generation college graduate. What I didn't tell you is that it took me several years longer to graduate than it probably should have. And the reason for that is because I didn't have the financial backing to be able to get that done. I worked long hours waiting tables until 1 o'clock in the morning, picking up extra shifts and still having to wait until 2 weeks into the semester to buy my books. I know the struggle, and in those dark days during the struggle, I promised myself that if ever I was in a position to help someone else, that would be my top priority. So that is something that I'm going to do. I'm going to work through the library, with the school district, to bring in college prep and transition into trade careers. Again, this is too short of a time to answer this, but read page 6 of the Napier plan.
Here's Frangie.
This is a tough question for 1 minute. Two-part question. So education, let's start with the community center. I do believe the city can and should own the building. I think we can manage the building. We are landlords right now of the music hall, and we do a fine job at that, and I think Mayor Morris has made his point about how good of a job we are doing at the music hall. I think we can and we should own the community center. We need to support a healthy entity, a healthy board, a healthy executive director in the community center to properly run it, to properly write for grants, to properly, there was so much fundraising that's done outside of the community center for it and for its purpose, but there weren't unified teams working to work with grants and raise money. So, and the city would not burden a huge cost in owning that building. It's probably about $120,000 a year now as it functions. And there's still a great deal of low-hanging fruit in that building to make it energy efficient. We could probably knock that down by another 30%. We all want to help education. We all want to help the youth. We actually had a very exciting young Democrat function with my campaign. You know, Mr. Napier talks about helping with education at the library level. We do want to partner with the school. I think we have to tread lightly there. You know, we don't have those tax dollars. We have to decide where our tax dollars go, and I believe police, fire, and our city hall right now is where we really need to focus that support. We need to modernize those services, DPW, as best as we can first.
Here's Keeler.
My parents were among the original donors that opened the Cohoes Community Center. And as a kid, I was there swimming and playing basketball, and I think that's where I first met Sean Morris, because I can confirm it, that he was there often also. But right now, only the mayor can stop the sale of the community center. If I was mayor, I would do whatever it took to keep the community center going. But reconstitute the board, see John Domel would come in and be the CEO as a caretaker. But we gotta keep the community center open as a community center. It doesn't help the community if Gold's Gym or something similar comes in and opens up as a private facility. It's not the same thing. With respect to the schools, I have spoken to the superintendent. I would continue to liaison with the superintendent. Two of my daughters are teachers at the, you know, one's at the high school, one's at Harvey Hill. My son-in-law is a teacher at the high school. Three of my grandkids go to the school. There's a lot of problems with Cohoes infrastructure, et cetera, but nothing's more important to me than our kids and the school. Thanks.
You give us a short round of applause.
I think it's easy to say things. It's harder to do them, right? The community center closed. The mayor is not Superman. I tried to stop them from closing. It did not work. The community center building is $500,000 to buy. The repairs of a government owning it is about $2.5 million. That's $3 million. That is every penny that we've saved working as hard as we did the last 3 years would be eaten up and gone. On top of that, another $1 million. When you equate that to taxes, for every $75,000, it's a 1% tax increase. So you do the math of how much I'd have to raise taxes just to cover the cost of buying the community center. You don't buy something because your heart tells you to buy it. You do it because you want to be fiscally responsible and you want it to be something special. If I can't make it special, then why should I just spend your money? The building is in need of repair. We need to find a private investor to buy it, and he can do it a lot cheaper than we can. We have one that we're speaking with. He has his engineers going in there next week, and hopefully he'll be able to say, we can take this building and turn it into something profitable. I said to him, the city will never help you unless our kids go there for free. He understood that. He's still there. He's still looking at it. And we'll find out within a few weeks whether or not his company, which is a multi-million dollar company, can fix that building, open it up, and make it profitable. If they can't, unfortunately, they won't do it. And I don't believe you would want me to do that if I sent you the tax bill and said, here's the bill for an empty building. Yeah. So I gotta be fiscally responsible, not use my heart in this situation.